Iranian president warns against plots aimed at causing division among Shia and Sunni Muslims. Palestine addresses United Nations Security Council as a state for the first time. Police clash with protesters in Egypt on the eve of the second anniversary of the uprising. And Greek Parliament votes to probe allegations that former finance minister failed to pursue possible tax evaders. In the name of God, the Compassionate, the Merciful, hello and welcome. I'm Ali Reza Madadi with the latest coming to you live from Tehran. First of all, the Iranian president has warned against evil plots aimed at causing division among Shia and Sunni Muslims, stressing the importance of reinforcing unity among Muslim nations across the world. Addressing the closing ceremony of an international Quran competition of Muslim countries' armed forces in the Iranian capital city of Tehran, President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad also denounced sectarian and tribal issues. He said that the Quran and Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, belong to all Muslims and even followers of all divine religions, including Jews, Christians, and all human beings. He said the Zionist regime has established its dominance over a group of Muslims through deceit and lies, and Muslims are not united enough to confront this occupying regime because of their differences. President Ahmadinejad also noted that many individuals and governments have claimed that they seek to promote freedom across the world, protect human rights, establish democracy, and eradicate cruelty and discrimination, but they have turned into the main elements of destruction of freedom and justice. Now, the United States has objected to the presence of a senior Palestinian official sitting behind a nameplate that read State of Palestine at the United Nations Security Council. It was the first Palestinian address to the Council since the UN General Assembly voted to upgrade the status of Palestine to non-member observer state on November 29, 2012. This UN vote is seen as a long-sought victory for Palestinians, but an embarrassing diplomatic defeat for the United States.
Now, allow me, Mr. President, to speak briefly, very briefly, in my national capacity, to respond to the unfounded references made to my country by the Israeli regime representative. There has been consensus in the past 65 years that the Palestinian question is the core issue in the Middle East and affects directly or indirectly any other problems in this region. There is also growing consensus that the continued Israeli aggression and unabated atrocities against the Palestinian people lie at the core of the Palestinian issue. So, the Council today is debating the repeated and grave crimes perpetrated by the Israeli regime against the Palestinian people, including establishing new settlements in the Palestine and blocking the revenue of the Palestinians. However, the representative of this regime, echoed in the words of the representative of its ally state, attempted once again to divert the debate towards Iran, and among other things referred to Iran's peaceful nuclear program. The irony is that a regime is talking about Iran's peaceful nuclear activities while it possesses the only stockpile of nuclear arms in our region. The nuclear weapon at the hands of this regime, with a record of state terrorism and aggression, have always been a major concern for the Middle East. It is absurd as much as it is appalling that the Israelis now try to hide their atrocious and egregious acts behind their empty rhetoric against my country. It is obvious that their propaganda against Iran has always been a smokescreen released by them to mask their acts and to divert public opinion from their land usurping schemes and other crimes. I thank you very much, Mr. President.
Now, Syrian soldiers have defused a number of roadside bombs in the west of the country as the army continues its operations against foreign-backed militants. Army units on Thursday defused five explosive devices planted on a road near the city of Homs. Syrian forces have also killed a number of militants in fresh clashes. Syrian government soldiers clashed with militants in the northwestern city of Aleppo as anti-government forces set fire to a gas station in Aleppo's suburbs. The rebels also attempted to storm the airport in the city, but were confronted by army troops and were forced to flee the area with a number of casualties. Elsewhere, clashes broke out on the outskirts of the capital Damascus and the western city of Hama. Meanwhile, the Syrian state TV aired pictures of Syrian President Bashar al-Assad, who attended mass prayers at a mosque in Damascus to mark the birthday of Islam's prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. The Syrian Minister for Religious Endowment also called for million-man prayers at mosques on Friday for the restoration of security in the country. In other developments, Syria's Interior Minister has granted permission to exile opposition groups to come to Syria in order to participate in national dialogue. Now, police have clashed with protesters in the Egyptian capital of Cairo on the eve of the second anniversary of the uprising that overthrew former dictator Hosni Mubarak. The clashes intensified when a dozen of protesters tried to dismantle a security barrier blocking the city's Qasr al-Aini street to the Liberation Square, which was the focal point of demonstrations 2 years ago. Protesters hurled rock at riot police and shouted slogans against President Mohamed Morsi, calling for his resignation. On January 18th, Egyptian opposition groups called for massive street protests against Morsi. Morsi supporters have also planned rallies to mark the anniversary. Egypt, however, has been the scene of mass protests and demonstrations against the president after he issued a controversial decree in November 2012 permitting him to issue any decision or law that is final and not subject to appeal. And before we continue, here's a recap of our top stories. Iranian president warns against plots aimed at causing division among Shia and Sunni Muslims. Palestine addresses United Nations Security Council as a state for the first time. Police clash with protesters in Egypt on the eve of the second anniversary of the uprising. And Greek Parliament votes to probe allegations that former finance minister failed to pursue possible tax evaders. Now, nuclear medicine is a relatively new branch of medicine which has come to play an effective role in curing patients using radioactive substances. My colleague Hajar Kujuri has more on that.
There are 150 nuclear medicine centers throughout the country which offer medical services to more than 1 million patients a year.
Nuclear medicine involves the application of radioactive substances in diagnosis and treatment of disease.
Nuclear medicine is a relatively new medical specialty which uses radionuclides, radioactive materials, in diagnostic and treatment of patients, mainly in cardiology, oncology for treatment or diagnosis, and bone disorders and brain disorders.
In nuclear medicine, radiopharmaceuticals are injected into the body. Then gamma cameras as the external detectors capture and form images from the radiation emitted from the body. This process is unlike radiology imaging, where external radiation is passed through the body to form an image. Shiraz Nuclear Medicine Center, benefiting from advanced equipments and skillful specialists, provides medical services to the patients of Fars and other southern provinces of the country. Hajar Kujuri reporting, Shiraz.
Now, the Greek Parliament has voted to probe allegations that former finance minister failed to pursue possible tax evaders on a list of 2,000 Greeks with Swiss banks. Lawmakers have now backed the coalition government's proposal to hold a parliamentary inquiry. Our correspondent has the scoop.
Political scandals and buried stories of cronyism are bursting once again into surface into what could be called a dynamic of political cleansing of debt-strapped Greece. In the context of the so-called Lagarde list investigation, the former Minister of Finance, George Papakonstantinou, is now facing a tax probe by the Greek Parliament. The 15 MPs that will sit on the parliamentary committee that will investigate former finance minister over the alleged doctoring of the Lagarde list are expected to be named on Monday. The panel will have until February 25th to deliver its findings, which will focus on whether Papakonstantinou removed the names of three relatives from the list, which contains more than 2,000 Greeks with accounts at the Geneva branch of HSBC. The committee is due to begin its investigation on Tuesday, yet most citizens remain skeptical over the efficiency and the potential findings of this investigation. Meanwhile, the judicial probe into the affair is continuing and prosecutors are expected to hear from an assistant to former Finance Crime Squad chief Yanis Diotis. The ex-chief official claimed that a lawyer helped him copy the list from a memory stick he was given by Papa Constantinou to another flash drive in June 2011. Then he said he was asked for one of the devices to be erased, fearing its contents would be leaked. It appears that the USB stick Diotis received from Papa Constantinou was wiped, making it more difficult for prosecutors to work out when the list was doctored. All these developments leave Greeks in anger and dismay toward the political system and the political elite. In a set of latest developments, two former ministers of finance, Yanis Papandoniou and Petros Loukas, are set to face charges in civil court over incomplete financial statement failings. In the meanwhile, data released by Eurostat yesterday on the debt of European Union member states in the third quarter of 2012 show that Greece's debt remained the largest in the bloc of proportion to its gross domestic product. In the July to September period, Greek debt amounted to 301 billion euros, or 152.6% of GDP. On an annual basis, the Greek debt went down by 11 percentage points thanks to the debt restructuring last spring. Compared with the second quarter, however, it went up by 3.4% of GDP. According to the new statements of international analysts, Greece will be able to return to the markets and draw funding from end 2014 or early 2015. In the context of the Lagarde-less investigation, the former Minister of Finance, George Papakonstantinou, is now facing a tax probe by the Greek Parliament. He is being accused of tampering with a list of suspected tax evaders with Swiss bank accounts. Some analysts do posit that this could be an scapegoat to Greek economic woes, yet final decisions are expected to take place within the week. Lucas Germanos, Shabake Kabar, Athens.
Now, the Goldman Sachs Banking Group and the Shell Oil Company were named and shamed at an alternative award ceremony on Thursday held on the fringes of the World Economic Forum. The two companies were highlighted by activists as the worst examples of corporate greed over the past year. The annual public eye ceremony saw trophies presented in absentia to Goldman Sachs for alleged financial misdeeds and to Shell for its role in exploiting oil reserves in the Arctic.
And we, in giving this award to Goldman Sachs, are saying that you cannot have double standards, you cannot have organizations that are so-called too big to fail, and certainly we should not be having organizations that are too big to be held accountable. If somebody steals $5 and needs to go to prison for that, then surely people who steal in exponentially larger amounts of money, conceal, break laws and so on, should also receive public sanctions, not 100 million bonuses, as Goldman Sachs has just voted to its top leadership.
We're here.
Our message to Shell is, you are an energy company. You have an option to transition to being a successful renewable energy company in the future, because that's where success is going to be. However, if you fail to make that change, you leave us with no ethical choice but to continue to bring peaceful but aggressive and strident pressure on you until you shift course.
Goldman Sachs is notorious for a reason. And because Goldman Sachs has that man-cube morality. And man-cube morality is, damn right we screwed our customers, and we'll do it again tomorrow.
And I think the most important...
Well, that's it for me now. Thank you very much indeed for joining us. Goodbye.